I speak to you not of mine own authority, but in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. The gospel appointed for today is so timely, just like last week, because last week we encountered a Samaritan who was helped having encountered thieves on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem. And today again in the gospel we encounter a Samaritan again. A Samaritan was a foreigner. And I said timely because we are very much aware of the crisis of the refugee situation in Europe and in the Middle East. As we reflect on the gospel appointed, I have to start with a question to all of us. And the question is, what would make you shout for joy at the top of your voice? What would make you fall on the ground, flat on your face, in front of someone? Some time ago, we all heard and we read of two explorers who were lost in the South American jungle. And for 9 months, these explorers wandered about, not knowing where they were and not knowing how to get out. And finally, after many adventures, and often giving up hope, these explorers were found and rescued. They probably did not have enough energy to shout, but they will have felt like it. Certainly, their relatives back home shouted for joy that their friends, relatives that were lost have been found. You might shout for joy when the doctor told you that someone you loved very dearly had come safely through the operation or the surgery and was going to be all right after all. You might do it when suddenly all of your debts were rolled away and you were given a new start in life. These are occasions that would make us shout. Which then is more surprising? The fact that one person came back, shouted for joy, and fell down at Jesus' feet? Or the fact that nine of them did not? When we examine St. Luke's gospel, it focuses on Jesus' attitude to the outsider, the foreigner. And like the Samaritan, in one of his own stories, the one we read last week, this man put to shame the Jews who had been healed but who did not say simply, "Thank you." Perhaps once they had seen the priest, and we must remember that the priest who lived locally had the responsibility to declare when people were healed from such diseases. Perhaps once they had seen the priest, they were afraid to go back and identify themselves with Jesus, who by now was a marked man. Perhaps, having realized that they had been healed, they were so eager to get back to their families, whom they hadn't been able to live with all the time that the disease had affected them, that they simply didn't think to go back and look for Jesus. St. Luke's Gospel, my friends, does not say that they were any less cured, but he does imply that they were less grateful. And after the lesson in humility comes the lesson in gratitude. Gratitude. Humility, of course, is still built in. Only the outsider, only the foreigner gives God the glory. Showing up the Jews, whose very name reminded them to praise God. The word Judah in Hebrew means praise, praise. It is not only the 9 ex-lepers who are shown up, my brothers and sisters. It is all of us, all peoples of the earth, all who fail to thank God always and for everything. As St. Paul puts it in Ephesians 5 and verse 20. We know very well with our heads, if we have any Christian faith at all, that our God is the giver of all things. Our God is the giver of every mouthful of food that we take, every breath of air that we inhale, every note of music that we hear, every smile on the face of a friend, every smile on the face of a child, of a spouse, all that, and a million more things are good gifts from the generosity of God. The world didn't need to be like this, my friends. it could have been far more drab. Of course, we have often made the world dull and lifeless. But even there, in a world that can be dull and lifeless, God can spring surprises. There's an old spiritual discipline of listing one's blessings, naming them before God, and giving thanks. And it is a healthy thing to do, especially in a world where we too often assume that we have an absolute right to health, to happiness, and to every possible comfort. Let us remember this morning that Jesus' closing words to the Samaritan invite a closer look. The word for get up, is a word that early Christians would have recognized as having to do with the resurrection. Like the prodigal son, this man was dead and is alive again. New life, the life which Israel was longing for as part of the age to come, had arrived in his village that day. And it had called out to him a faith he didn't know he had. Once again, my friends, faith is here in action. Go, Jesus says, you are healed. Your faith has made you well. Once again, faith here means not just an old belief that the God of life and death is at work in and through Jesus, and that the trust that this is not just a vague and general truth, but that it will hold good in this case, here and now. Faith, my brothers and sisters, this rhythm of faith and gratitude simply is what being a Christian is all about. Faith and gratitude is the same in the 21st century that we live in as it was in the first century. It is all about faith in God. Today, Jesus Christ calls us to live that faith, to have that faith every day of our lives. And having experienced that faith, to share it with those we encounter, that those who have lost hope may come to know God as the giver of life indeed. Amen.